book of Romans is a very important book, especially those that have been saved any length of time. You ought to read the book of Romans at least, shortly thereafter you get saved. You ought to read the book of Romans. It's a good book to read. It's got a lot of doctrine in it. A lot of people are afraid of doctrine, but doctrine is nothing to be afraid of. It's if it's right doctrine. And so Romans chapter number 2, let me give you Romans chapter number 1. We dealt with that pretty good and got pretty in-depth because, I mean, it was talking about things against atheists. The creation tells you. Basically, Romans chapter 1, Apostle Paul saying, if you got any sense at all, you know there's a God. I mean, the creation tells you there's a God. And then it goes on and talks about the steps that a man takes going into apostasy before he just goes off the deep end. And in a general sense, in Romans chapter 1, in other words, trying. Now remember this. Remember, Romans 1, 2, and 3 is going to deal with sin, is going to deal with how bad we are, how awful of a sinner we are. A lot of people don't want to read Romans 1, 2, and 3 because it just, you read Romans 1, 2, and 3, man, you'll be depressed. You understand what I'm saying? Because it tells us how bad we are. And before you can show someone how to be saved, they must see themselves as bad off as the drunk on the street, as the dope addict down the road. A person, before they can be saved, must see themselves like God sees them. And so that's what happens in Romans 1, 2, and 3. And then when you get to 4, 5, and 6 and so on, you'll start dealing with how to get out of the mess that we're in 1, 2, and 3. You get into chapter 4 and 5, it'll tell you how to get saved. This is why the book of Romans is so good. It's because it'll tell you how bad you are, that you don't have to stay that way. You get in 4 and 5, it'll tell you how to get saved. And then in chapter number 6, 7, and so on, hey, after you get saved, you're going to have trouble with this flesh. And after you have trouble with this flesh, chapter number 8 will tell you how to live after the Spirit and live a Christian life. And then Romans chapter number 12 will tell you how to be in service for the Lord, talking about renewing your mind and serving the Lord and presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Man, it'll take you all the way from before you got saved all the way to the end of your Christian life. That's why the book of Romans is so good. But in chapter number 1, it's a general idea that, yes, there is a God and you ought to know Him. Now, chapter number 2, Paul narrows that thing down just a little more. And even though in chapter number 1, hey, I can look at chapter number 1 and go, I'm not an atheist. I believe there's a God. I'm not some of these other things that the Apostle Paul says, you know, reprobate mind, all those kind of things. I'm not that. And I look at that and I look on the outward and I can say, man, I feel pretty good. Because I'm not any of that stuff. But then in chapter number 2, Paul narrows that thing down. And notice what he says in verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For therein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. All right, you ready? Watch this. We can look at chapter number 1 and go, hey, I believe there's a God. I'm pretty good. But then in chapter number 2, I look and say, uh-oh. This thing's coming just a little closer to home. This thing's coming down to me now. I mean, chapter number 1 is a general idea, but chapter number 2, I mean, chapter number 1 is dealing with everybody else. But chapter number 2 starts dealing with narrowing this thing down. Now remember, chapter number 2, we're not saved yet. Watch, we're not saved yet. In chapter number 2, the Pharisees and some of these other folks, these Gentiles, they're up here going, looking down at their nose going, man, I'm glad I ain't like that. You understand? But chapter number 2 will say, you're down there with the rest of that. And this is why there's not a lot of shouting going on tonight because, I mean, we're fixing to try to put ourselves or chapter number 2 is fixing to put ourselves with the drunk down the road, with the dope addict down the street. I mean, we're just as bad off as they were. We needed Christ just as bad as they did, or they do. You ain't no better. That's incorrect English, but at least I know it. You ain't no better than the dope head or the person that had to go to jail today down at the courthouse, or you ain't no better. You need to be saved just like they do. And these Pharisees are up here looking at their down their nose at everybody, and the Apostle Paul saying, hey, you're inexcusable too. Y'all, you the one looking down your nose, judging everybody else, and what you're judging everybody else, you're condemning your own self. All right, you ready? Let me give you an example. I'm not going to do this verse by verse, but I am, because you dealt with some of this last week. But I do want to give you an example. Look at John chapter number 8 for a perfect example of this verse, what I just said. John chapter number 8. I mean, this is a good example right here of what Romans chapter 2 is talking about. Chapter number 2 is going to deal with self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Chapter number 1, Paul describes the condition of the human heart, and boy, he paints a bad picture about that. But chapter number 2 tells us, gets down to the nitty-gritty and says how God actually sees the inside of the heart. While man is looking on the outside, God is looking on the inside going, you're just as bad off, your heart's just as wicked as the rest of them. John chapter number 8, look here. Let me get down here. Verse number 1, Jesus went in the under the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came in again to the temple, and all the people came with him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in an adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? In the very act. They caught this woman in the very act. Verse 5 says, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what saith thou? I mean, we know what Moses says, but Lord, I mean, what do you want us to do with this woman? We know what Moses says. Watch this, verse 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up herself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You ready? Perfect example of Romans chapter number 2. This woman was taken in adultery. She had been caught in the act. They bring the woman and they don't bring the man. You got it? They bring the woman, but they don't bring the man. Now, the law of Moses says both of them are condemned to die. And they say, but Jesus, we understand what the law says, but we just want to know what you want to do with this woman. And watch this. He stoops down on the ground. And I don't know exactly what he wrote. I don't have any idea. It doesn't say. But I bet you he probably started at the youngest and went to the eldest and said, you committed adultery on this particular day, March the 23rd, year of our Lord. So-and-so, you did this right here on this particular date. So-and-so, you did this They're over his shoulder going. You judging other folks, you're condemning yourself. Because thou art inexcusable, O man. Jesus was trying to tell these Pharisees, hey, you caught this woman right here. Where's the man at? Was it one of y'all? Which one? What? He probably wrote it down. Hey, you's the one. You the man. And they're looking over the shoulder going, how do you know that? What he's trying to tell them Pharisees that are up here looking down at their nose at this woman. Yes, she did wrong. Yes, I understand all of that. Yes. But what he's trying to get to the other men to see is they need him just like she needs him. And you need him just like anybody else needs him. No matter how good you are, no matter how many times you come to church, you need him just as much as they need him. And that's why he said, you're inexcusable, old man. Now look at verse number 2. I'm back in Romans 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, old man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou should escape the judgment of God? I mean, don't think you're going to get away with it. I mean, God's going to judge you too. And so, hey, here's just what he's trying to say. Watch this. There's a spider up here or something. I got webs all over me. This is what he's trying to say. Have you ever noticed that NLM TV preachers, they only confess and they're only sorry when they get caught? And so what Jesus is trying to say, your heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. This woman just so happened to get caught. But some of you men over here that are condemning her, you're guilty of the same thing. You just wasn't caught. And that puts you in the same boat as her. Now, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of shouting, but I was expecting a little more help than this. Now, look at this one. Luke 18. Look at Luke 18. Luke 18. Look at this one. Now, this is a good story to give you an example of Romans 2. Luke 18 real quick. And I'm going to move on to something else. I figured I'd get a lot of emails on that. Luke 18, verse number 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, that's exactly who he's talking to in Romans 2. Those that trusted in themselves that they were not adulterers, they were not murderers, they were not drunkards, they were not dope heads, they were not. And they were very pleased with themselves because they weren't. Verse 10, two men went to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like them men in Romans chapter 1. I'm glad I'm not like them other men in Romans chapter 1. They're extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. Boy, that's putting me under conviction. I thought fasting was getting to the table as fast as you could. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. Aren't those good things to do? Well, sure. And the publican standing afar off, now y'all got to get the picture. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now watch this. Did you know that both of those men, one of those men, the Pharisee, was better than the publican? He was much, much, much better than the publican. But did you know that if you could have tore the shirt off, or if you just cracked open their chest of both men, their hearts were the same. And God is trying to get us to see our hearts without Christ is the same as, y'all ready for this? Are you ready? We got seatbelts in the seat. Just pull over and buckle your seatbelt in real good. Y'all ready? I'm including this preacher right here. Before you got saved, you cracked your chest open and you crack open Ben Laden's chest, y'all got the same dirty, rotten, nasty heart. Oh, but I haven't run a plane into a Twin Tower on September 11th. You didn't have to. You still got it in you. Don't say that you couldn't have. You could have. Man, I ought to try preaching this Sunday morning. That'll be good. Man, we won't have 300 here, I guarantee you. You see what I'm trying to say. Ben Laden needs Jesus the Lord. Well, it's too late for him, but he needed the Lord just as bad as I did. Even though, listen, y'all ready? This has been recorded. I think it was justified. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but justified. But he needed to be saved. Adolf Hitler needed to be saved before he died, and so did Saddam Hussein, whoever, need to be saved before he died. But don't get to the place to where you are in Romans chapter 2 and look down your nose and going, well, I mean, I'm pretty good. I don't do like they do. You still need to be saved too. That's what the whole point is in Romans chapter 2. Now look back at Romans chapter 2. Now, this is the point. Guess what? Verse number 6, look at this. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Who will render every man according to his deeds. Look at Revelation 20. Hold your place there in Romans 2. Look at Revelation 20. Now, I'm just overviewing this thing. Look at Revelation 20. All lost people, right here, all lost people, in Revelation 20 and verse 1, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Big sinners, little sinners, didn't make any difference. Small or great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, let me stop and give you a little help. If you're not planning on getting saved, then you need to live as good a life as you can live. You say, why? Because you'll be judged according to your works. So if you're not planning on getting saved and you don't want to get saved, then you need to live as good a life as you can live. So the books, when he opens them up, that you might look a little better. According to your works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's tough, but that's truth. Romans 2, verse 6 says, who will render every man according to his deeds. Verse 11 says, for there is no respecter of persons with God. Guess what? If you're ready, if you're not going to get saved, you're not planning on getting saved, guess what? You'll be up before God at the great white throne judgment with Hitler, Saddam Hussein. Y'all ready? Bin Laden and whoever else. You standing right there by them. Well, Lord, I ain't done what these guys did. The Lord opens up and says, you got the same kind of heart. Hallelujah, man. That's going over real good. Now, let's look at verse 14. I want to get down to this before we get done. Look at verse 14. Have y'all ever wondered about this before we read verse 14? Have y'all ever wondered about this? People ask me this question all the time. They ask me this question. They say, well, what about the heathen on the backside of so-and-so? They hadn't got a Bible. They don't even know there's a God. They don't know. They're way back off yonder. They don't even know nothing about nothing. Y'all ever heard that question? What about them? Well, what about them? Watch this. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Well, now watch this. You say, preacher, what about those people, those tribes, those tribesmen, those people that run around, you know, ain't got no clothes on? I mean, not America, but way back there in not at the mall. I ain't talking about the mall. I'm talking about them tribesmen that run around and ain't got no clothes on. I ain't talking about at Walmart. I'm talking about... I mean, they run around. That comes from the jungle. I don't know if you know that or not, but it comes from the jungle. You know all that. You know all that. It comes from the jungle. I'm just helping you. It's Wednesday night. Y'all not liking this, but I'm just going to tell you so we can hurry up and get done. It comes from the jungle. They go back off of there. You know this. Watch this. They ain't got a Bible. No Bible. They don't know nothing about no Ten Commandments. Y'all with me? Do you know what them boys back off there in the jungle, back there in the backside of nowhere where nothing is and whatever? You know what they do? If you steal something, you know what they do? Cut your hand off. You know what they'll do if you do it again? They cut your other one off. Do you know what they'll do if you do it the third time? They'll cut your head off. Here's my question. Who told them to do that? They ain't got a Bible. Y'all with me? They ain't got a Bible. They don't know nothing about no Ten Commandments. They don't know nothing about thou shalt not steal. But that Bible right there in Romans chapter number 2 says, when the Gentiles, when they have not the law, they do by nature the things contained in the law, because the law in their conscience is written on their heart. You know what that means? You go back to verse 1. Thou art inexcusable, O man. Nobody can have an excuse when they stand before God. Did you know that they ain't got a Bible? Did you know they ain't got no Ten Commandments? But if you mess with one of them tribesmen's women, I don't know how many they got, but if you mess with one of them, just mess with one of them and see what happens. You know what? It's almost like they got a Bible. It's almost like they know what the Ten Commandments are. Amen. Their conscience, y'all ready for this? Their conscience, did you know why America's in the shape we're in right now? It's because we've been educated and our conscience has been seared and educated not to think there's anything wrong with certain things. You used to, well, I feel like just a little preaching tonight. You used to, watch, should I? Let me ask you a question. I may throw myself under the bus on this one, but your conscience, until it's educated by the educational system and by the news media, if you watch the news media long enough, your conscience won't bother you as bad before you started watching it. Because everything on there, everything your conscience tells you that is wrong, the television says everybody's doing it. Then you watch that every day, and all of a sudden you start to do it, your conscience says, ho, 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 ho! And I myself goes, conscience, hush. I can't have any fun while you're around. You try to do it the next day. Conscience, ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho. And then I'm like, conscience, hush. Leave me alone. The next day it's like, you get ready to do, ho, ho. Conscience, you say something. And I feel pretty good about this. My conscience not bothering me anymore. It must be okay to do it. My conscience ain't bothering me. You know what? You've killed your conscience. But you raise a young child before they get off to education, they educate them out of what their conscience and train their conscience, you know. Used to, man. Look, let me ask y'all a question. No show of hands. No show of hands. Well, watch this one. When y'all took the first puff off of a cigarette, did you do it at the dinner table with the whole family sitting there? Or did you do it in the woods under a tree about 10 miles into the woods where nobody could see you? Or did you go up in your bedroom, shut the door, and close the door and lock it? And light a candle and try to get something to smell and sit there and take your first puff? Or did you do it in front and out here in front of everybody at the church? No show of hands, please, but I can tell by the look on your face, you didn't do it in front of everybody. Why? Because your conscience was telling you. Where'd y'all take your first drink at? Don't nobody answer. Where'd y'all take your first drink at? Did you sit down at the dinner table with dad, mom, whole family there? And did you just say, hey, mama, pour me one of them? You didn't do that. Or if you did, you got false teeth today. Why? The first time you done it in secret. You with me? But the more you do it, the conscience is subdued. And all of a sudden, now you see it in the wide open because nobody's conscience bothers them anymore. They've educated their conscience. We've seen it on television. Did I tell you about my mama liking Gunsmoke? Mama loved Gunsmoke, man. She loved Gunsmoke. And we'd have to sneak to watch it because Daddy, even though it was in black and white, and that's all Daddy let us watch, black and white stuff, I Love Lucy, Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, y'all with me, Mr. Ed, Andy Griffin, hallelujah, Three Stooges, all black and white, y'all help me now, all black and white, Gunsmoke, on Gunsmoke, they go to the bar scene. And it wouldn't, I'm telling you, Daddy'd be out in the office studying. He wouldn't even have nothing. And that joker, I don't know how he knew it. But when they come up on that bar scene, here come Daddy through the living room. What are y'all watching in there? they know I'm telling the truth. You know what? They start training. Now we're laughing about that, but you what? The more your children see that, and it's past gun smoke now. I mean, we're talking about now. You know why people don't mind running around on their wife and running around on, you know why? Because it's an everyday thing. Nobody's conscious about it. You do it in the wide open now. I mean, who cares who sees you? Y'all with me? Romans chapter 2 is dealing with that. And dealing with when we think we look at somebody and go, hey, you're bad. All you're doing is condemning yourself. Y'all want to end on a... You know what Jeremiah 6:15 says? We got to close. Ain't y'all glad? Jeremiah 6:15 says, they don't hearken to the word of the Lord, and it's gotten to where, I'm paraphrasing now, y'all pray for me, but I don't have time to go there, but you read it, Jeremiah 6:15, it says it's gotten to the place where people don't blush anymore. Used to, people would blush. People don't blush anymore. Why? Conscience don't bother me anymore. So, you ask a question. What about them folks on the way backside of whatever, don't know nothing about nothing? They know more than you think they know. Because their conscience bears witness, is written on their hearts. Now, I'm going to end with this. Ready? This will be a little touchy, but anyway, it's okay. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Man, that's going to be a day. Man, I'm going to tell you. All the secrets are going to come out then. All the secrets are going to come out. That's going to be a day. But let me ask you a question. Y'all ready? Here's the whole point. Jesus was trying to get the Pharisees, watch, Matthew 5. You don't have to turn there. I'll quote it to you. Matthew 5. The Pharisees are up here. Lord, y'all ready? We have never committed adultery. Never. Never would we ever commit adultery. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 28? He said this. If you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. Where? In where? This is why Romans 1, 2, and 3 is there. Because if you're not guilty in chapter 1, you're going to come out of chapter number 2 guilty. Boy, man, look how quiet it is in here. I feel like we're having a business meeting. Huh? Now, I'm just saying, look here. We look on the outward and go, oh, look so-and-so. Oh, look at that. You better crack your chest open and look on the inside and go, uh-oh. I need the Lord too. Ain't that something? Well, anyway. Just for the record, because I know y'all are wondering, I never have drank any beer. I never had a desire to, and I'm not. Well, I am bragging too, because I'm glad of that. I am glad of that. But I did take a puff off a cigarette one time. And I won't... I won't tell you who gave it to me. But he played the piano a while ago. But it don't matter. I had to lighten it up in here, man. It was tense. But you know what? As Romans chapter 2 says, guess what? When it's the end of the day and it's all said and done, We all need Christ to save us from our sin. No matter how much of a good of a sinner you are, or a bad of a sinner you are, or how good, God knows how to get you guilty in Romans 1, 2, and 3 so He can save you in chapter 4 and 5. And that's why Romans 1, 2, and 3 is a little rough. Amen. All right. Any question about that? Comment.